We have two scriptures this morning. First scripture is going to be from Psalm 126, verse 3. And the scripture reads, "The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy." Second scripture comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us to become such masters of ourselves that we become the servants of others. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a great week. It was long, but I had a great week because I got to go to annual conference. And you've heard me mention it a few times, but I do it on purpose. Annual conference was great. I had a wonderful time. I got to see old friends that I've known for a long time, some that have known me since before I knew myself. I got to make new friends, hear their stories, hear about their faith and their connection, not just to the conference, but their connection to Christ. I got to talk and have conversations with colleagues all over the state, ones that I don't get to talk to much, ones that I never get to hear preach because I'm a little busy myself. I got to spend time with family. Family that I get to call colleagues. Family that share the same vocation to talk about and talk through the issues and things we face as a church. I got to experience joyous occasions. Two wonderful services on Friday night is the service of new ordinands, local licensed pastors, deaconesses, deacons, and elders alike. Thursday night, we have to celebrate our bishop. 8 years of service to the Indiana Conference. Over 40 years of service and ministry alone. Man that is encouraged and lifted up, loved and shown who Christ is to everyone. These were joyous occasions. My heart was full during those moments. I may have shed a tear or two, but I also had a lot of realization. At one moment, I'm sitting there, and it dawned on me. I knew this, but it truly hit me. This is the first annual conference since General Conference of this past year. Since the first General Conference of since 2019. Since a General Conference that had made more changes in 1 year than we could probably go back and look over the last 20 years. The realization of celebration, of joy, of our way forward as United Methodists, as disciples of Christ. There's realizations of great things that are coming, of who we are, who I am in Christ. Those realizations, they bring feelings, right? I had a feeling of joy in what Christ was doing there, what Christ is doing here today. I had a feeling of hope in the world and the people that Christ is sending out to share his message. I had a feeling of assurance that we are being led and listening to where Christ is telling us to go. And all of this, all of these things, and the celebrations and the realizations and the feelings that come with it, in the midst of all of it, I had to take a breath. I had to take a moment and think to myself and wonder, how did we even get here? how did you even? I look back, and for me personally, started in 2019. There was a moment where I did have some tears on Friday night. So my dad was sitting on the stage. It's the service of the new ordinance. My dad's sitting on the stage because that's part of his duty and what he does. But I'm sitting up there with Tammy. And if you know Tammy, she's ordained elder in the United Methodist Church as well. We're sitting there, and I start to think back for a moment. I realize it's been 5 years. See, there's a moment in this service, towards the end of it, they ask and they say, if you feel led, if you feel led to ministry, if you feel called to ministry, come down. Let us pray with you. Let us help you answer that call. Let us help guide you and lead you in the ways that Christ is leading you. See, I had a moment of tears Friday night because it's been 5 years since I walked up to that stage. It's been 5 years since I answered my call. See, in 2019, when they asked me that, I stood up and I started walking down the aisle. In a room full of 1,200 plus people, I couldn't even see them. You see, as I started walking down the aisle, I look up on the stage, my dad in the same place that he had been, back with the rest of the cabin, I look and he's standing up to come off the stage. However, he's not the first person that greeted me. The first person to greet me when I came down that aisle, his name is Russ Abel, a man that I will always cherish and have a friendship with. A man that's known me since I was 14 years old. Maybe before that, but that's what I remember. He was the first person to give me a hug and said, congratulations, I knew all along. The very next person I turned, possibly the biggest embrace I've ever had with my father. He whispers in my ear, congratulations, I'm proud of you. I knew all along. Something they saw in me that I couldn't see in myself until this moment. 5 years, almost to the day, that I answered my call, and I look back and I wonder, how did I get here? Shortly after I answered my call, I got my first appointment, November 1st, 2019. 5 months later, we know what happened. March 14th, we closed the churches. March 14th, 2020, pandemic hits. The churches, in essence, we close. Online worship rang, right? Connections, though, dwindled. Relationships disappeared. Giving slowed down. Ministry was drying up. We didn't know how to move forward. Many of us perplexed, locked into what was happening right in front of us. We couldn't figure out how to minister when we couldn't be with the people we were supposed to minister to. The universal church that had already been struggling came to a hard stop. We were told, we were led to believe that the church can't be the church it once was. We were told, we were led to believe that the church won't be the same, the church can't recover, that the well is dry. Discipleship is stagnant. Well, 4 years later, as I was leaving annual conference, as I stand before you here today, I ask you, how did we get here? Shortly after we were able to come out of the pandemic and start trying to be the church again, over the next 2 years, we faced something we never wanted to face. All of a sudden, from 2021 to 2023, waves of disaffiliation started coming in. Waves of brothers and sisters in Christ that we've stood next to, done ministry with, connected with through our United Methodist system have left the church. Not all of it was gracious. Many and so many, many moments of tempers flaring, so many moments of relationships burned down right in front of us. Church hurt, church pain, church struggle growing once again. In a time where we're supposed to be thriving and healing from what the pandemic caused, we find ourselves right back in another place of pain. We're told church can't survive. Church won't survive. We're told the future of the UMC was unsure. The future of the United Methodist Church was unclear. It was uneasy. We're told we had no idea what it was going to be. Thing is, we didn't know what it would be. But I can tell you, as I stood at annual conference, as I left annual conference, I let the music hit my soul, and I felt it to the very core of who I am. As the tears started forming in my eyes, but the smile grew ear to ear, I thought to myself, how did we get here? As I recall the last 5 years, as I recall the last 5 years of what's happened in the church, as I look at the decisions that were made at General Conference that shook the landscape of who we are and who we can be in Christ, as I look at the joy that was shared and felt at Annual Conference, I ask, how did we get here? As I look back at July 1st, 2023, as I look back to moments serving ice cream to seniors, as I look back to packing meals for children, serving meals to the hungry at the Micah Center, as I look back at meals shared together in this very room, as I look back at the moments of sharing in his body and blood, as I look back at our line of nativity, as I look back at singing the first Noel during Christmas, as I look back at candles held high next to our faces, as I look back at baptisms and confirmations and new members, as I look back at picking up our crosses during Lent, letting Christ carry us forward and taking the joy of what Christ brings and sharing it with everyone else, as I look back at our bishop standing right here where I am preaching and encouraging us to love without end, as I look back, purchasing land, as I look back at a risen Savior on Easter morning, I ask you and I ask myself, how did we get here? How did we get here? And what started in the living room, how at all did we get here today? Jesus. How did we get here? How did our denomination get to where it is? How did we get to being disciples and Christians post-pandemic? How did we get to where we are? Jesus. 2019, my call to ministry, it was Christ. In 2020, through COVID, it was Christ that carried us through. In 2021 and 2023, through all the disaffiliations, it was Christ that carried us forward. In Noel's first year, through the healing, the growth, the learning, the tiredness, the laughs, the tears, and the joys, and the struggles, it was Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 27. Jesus cast out the impure spirit, right? In Mark chapter 1, 40 to 45, he heals a man with leprosy. In Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, he heals a paralyzed man. In all of those instances, in all of those healings and miracles, the people were amazed. They weren't sure who this man was, but yet they followed because of Jesus. They listened They watched, and more would come. More would ask for healing. More would ask for Christ to be in their presence because Jesus. When we look at the life of the teachings, when we read through the Gospels, when we read each one of those books, we see the common theme. We see the common denominator from then to now and forevermore. The grace, love, power, and strength of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We see it. We know it. And yet, we still ask how. We still ask how. We still wonder. We still sit in amazement each time we see Jesus working in our lives, don't we? We sit in awe of all these moments in our lives and what Christ has done, shocked and surprised that he can still lift us up. For over 2,000 years, all Christ has continued to do is show us exactly who he is, and yet we still ask, how? Well, church, it's simple. Our faith and dedication as disciples to Jesus Christ as our Savior. That is how. That is why. It's easy, right? Easy to follow Jesus. It's easy to follow our Lord. Ask Job and Daniel and Moses. Ask Mary and Joseph during their journey. Ask the disciples who were asked to lay everything down and then go and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How easy it is to follow Christ. Ask all of those that left the church, that left United Methodist Church, that started a new church just over a year ago, how easy it was to follow Christ's word. It's easy to say, not as easy to do, but we know where it lies. How? Doesn't stop there. You see, now the fun begins, right? Now the fun begins. Now the hard moments begin. We can look again and we can look no farther than Jesus once again. In all of the instances I named before, in all of the miracles and all the moments in which we read about in the Gospels of Jesus and his life, in all the stories and all the accounts, when the moment was done, when the miracle was performed, when Jesus left to go pray in solitude, he didn't stop there. He didn't say, okay, I healed you, now I'm done. I've done my work, now I'm done. Even in the ultimate story, Jesus was led to his death. He was whipped and beaten, hung on a cross to die. Earthly time was up. But Jesus didn't stop. His earthly time was up, but he said, we are not done yet. We have work to do. My journey and your journey has just begun. Why? Because my friends, Christ is alive and well. All the things we can look back on and we say how, it's because Christ is alive and well in each of us. Christ is and will always be working. If Christ is working as disciples, so are we. Our mission doesn't stop. Our mission is not finished. Our mission is not complete until Christ is done. And Christ only stops when there's no one left to disciple the kingdom of Jesus. Church, as disciples, we have done some amazing things. We have done many amazing things over the last year. Many things to be joyful about. Many things to be excited about, joyful about. And as our bishop says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. We do rejoice. We are joyful. And we may ask ourselves at some point, how? Jesus. He doesn't make it any simple. Us. When someone asks how, we say Jesus. But just like the nature of Christ, we have work to do. Just like Christ doesn't stop, neither do we. We still have people to see. We still have people to know, people to hear, places to go, discipleship to do. We still have love to give. Just like Christ, we are not done yet. So today we celebrate. Today we celebrate with our loud voices, our excited hearts, and the love that we share with one another. Today we are joyful. Today we are thankful for what the Lord has done. We look back at what all we have done and accomplished, and today we celebrate it. But tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow we have work to do. Jesus would say, "Truly I tell you." And then he would go on to tell us, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." But then he would say again, "Truly I tell you, there's more work to do." So be happy. Be excited. Embrace the joy. Embrace the celebration. But be ready. Be ready for what Christ brings us next. Be ready for what Christ brings you next. Be ready for where Christ leads us and calls us to go next. Because our journey has just begun. As our blessed retiring bishop says, "I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it." Church, let's celebrate. Let's be joyous. Let's be excited about what we've done. But let's remember, we are not done yet, and our journey has just begun. Our journey in Christ, what Jesus is doing here, it's only just begun. Be good, do good. Stand.